Romans chapter 8. Pastor Lane said used Romans 8 1 in one of his messages the other day, and I told him after that, I said, Romans 8 just stuck in my mind, and I've been reading it, and I know you've read it 100 times, and it's a good one, isn't it? Well, let's see if we can look at it, and I would like to talk about walking according to the Spirit. Now, that, of course, we find in verse 1, it says, and I'm reading out the New King James, so you may have something a little bit different. Says, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? Who's he talking to? Anybody?
I say he's talking to all of us if we just pay attention and listen to what
he's saying. Right, he's talking to all believers, isn't he?
Right.
Talking to born-again Christians. Now, he took it a step further, though, and this is what stuck in my mind, and of course I've studied this and taught on it before, but what stuck in my mind was this phrase, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, may I suggest that that does not come automatically with salvation. I know the Nazarene Church, which Jan was in for a lot of years, the Nazarene Church uses the term sanctification. Have you ever heard that? As a secondary or growing, a part of your growth. Okay? And I'm not talking about sanctification per se, but they talk about that as a growing thing, a secondary to salvation, of course. Nothing takes that place. Nothing is more important than being born again. But I'm looking at this, and I'd like to share with you tonight that this is about getting the flesh under control of the Spirit. I'm talking about your spirit now. Getting your flesh or my flesh under the control of my spirit. Now, let's go a little further. Because when we were born again, there was another spirit got involved. Who is that?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. That's right. He lives in every born-again Christian. Amen?
That's right.
Everybody, every born-again Christian has the same Holy Spirit in them. And, of course, I might have said this before here, but I say it a lot at the truck stops or wherever I am, is I'm not so much interested in how much of God you have. What I want to know is how much of you does he have? How much of me does he have? And I think in growing out of this, submit to the flesh all the time, we all got flesh. Amen? We all got a carnal nature. Every day. I have made the statement before. Dr. Stanley was one of my teachers, by the way, when I was studying initially. I studied a lot under Dr. Stanley, so he's kind of a hero to me. And I don't think I'd get anything against saying that here, although it don't go too big some places. But you know, I listened to a lot he had to say, and that was one of the things he would say is, you know, how much control of you does God have? So think about that. Now, if we all got a flesh, oh, I know what I was going to say, that truck stop, that's the name that's recognized, I guess, all over the world. And I will say something like, Dr. Stanley's got a sinful nature. And they go, you know, well, he does. We all have. Everybody born of man has that. And that's, of course, what separated Jesus, wasn't it? Because he was not born of man. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, we know, and that's why he's different. And that's where his deity comes in. But we have to deal with this crazy thing called flesh, and I hate it. I hate it with a passion. In one place in here in Romans, Paul said, you know what I want to do? What did he say? I don't do, and what I shouldn't do or what I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I bet everybody in the room can identify with that. Amen? There's some time, there's an area in my life, I had an extremely bad temper before I got saved. I mean, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that. I had a horrible temper. And, of course, You know what? When I was born again, Freddie, when I woke up the next morning, I still had the temper. Right? I mean, it didn't go nowhere. But it was part of my flesh that I had to gain control over by submitting more of my flesh to the Holy Spirit. See? That's how that works. That's the maturing. In fact, turn to Colossians 2, and let's look at what Paul said about maturing. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Over there somewhere. I learned in VBS as a little child. We sung the New Testament books. That's how we learned them. I do that today. When Pastor Lane says, turn to something, I say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, where is it at? No. Ah, very good. Very good. I got to write that down. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 6. Do better if you're getting the right page. Chapter 2, verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. He's talking to born-again Christians here, right? All right, understood. Now it says, so walk in him, verse 7, rooted and built up in who?
In him.
In him and established in what?
Faith.
In the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, notice that word abounding. What does that mean? Anybody? What does the word abounding in something? A lot of it? Overflowing? That's a good word. So, yeah. So he's telling us we need to be overflowing in the faith. I don't know about you, but my flesh doesn't like me reading the Bible. It'll give me 47 reasons not to sit there and read the Bible. I have to do mine early in the morning because if I ever get started in my day, you know, I can say, well, you know, when I get to the office, I'll tell them to hold my calls and I'll do this, or I'll do it when I get home. Ain't never going to happen. It won't happen. I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning before I wake Jan up, before I start waking Jan up. If the rapture happened early in the morning, we'll have to come back and get her. But anyway, no, not really. But I have my time with the Lord and read the Word, but my flesh even then tries to tell me, I start thinking of things. You ever do that? It just, your mind are just,
I pray about it.
Yeah, wander off. He said, so to be abounding in it, I have found that the more I hear the word, and by the way, Romans 10:17 says what? Faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by what?
Word of God.
So Satan doesn't mind you reading it silently so much, because what you read silently goes in your mind. Now watch this carefully. What you read, like I look up and see that clock in my mind recorded the time, right? You look up here behind me, and some of you have already recorded all of that. All of you have and didn't even know it on this board. But now what you hear goes in your spirit or in your heart, the Bible calls it. And the heart is the spirit. Now, the difference is, the spirit man is where the Holy Spirit is. All right? He's not in the mind, right? That's the devil's playground. We all know that, right? That's where our flesh, our mind, our soul actually is the mind, the intellect. That's where Satan likes to play. So to combat this, what I have learned to do, and it may help you, it may not, is read the Bible out loud. Read it out loud, and then I hear it. I did a test on me driving a truck, and I may have already shared this. I bought the Bible on tape, and no matter how long I was going to sleep, hour, 2 hours, or 6 hours, I don't ever sleep that long, but I'm supposed to sleep that long. So for the DOT list of this tape, no. However long it was, I would put a cassette of the Bible in there and go to bed. I hear nothing but that. And that truck would become just completely permeated with the Word of God, you know, and I'm hearing it. Now, consciously, I'm asleep, but I'm still hearing it, right? It's been medically and I guess what you call scientifically proven that still works. So I learned a lot about the Bible by simply listening to it while I was asleep so that my mind was shut down and wouldn't stray off somewhere. So I still do that today in reading. So he says, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, walk in him. This is growing up, rooted and built up in the faith. Now let's go on to verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. And boy, have we got that out there today. And by the way, folks, I don't have time. I won't get into it deep, but I don't know if you realize it, but there's a cult moved into Butts County and got 35 acres. We're not talking about a little place. And we'll get into that more later. But for those listening on tape, that's where we live, Butts County. And we're working on a plan on that already. But he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. And that's what they are. They got a great philosophy, but there's no word in it nowhere. And empty deceit, according to traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is ahead of all principality and power. It blows my mind to think about God lives in me. God the Holy Spirit, right? He is God, right? And all that power is in each one of us. Now, he don't turn us loose with all of it. We'd probably kill everybody or kill ourselves. I mean, we don't know how to control it. But I believe that he will give us as much as we learn how to use. You know what I'm saying? And that's where the maturity comes in. How many have been defeated? We'll just say a habit, and we won't mention what it is, but had a habit that you had before you got saved, and it keep popping up after you get saved, and you're just so disgusted with that thing that you're just sick of it. But it keeps popping up, and about the same time you think you're rid of it, it pops up again. You know? That's Satan, of course, trying to attack us and tear us down. So I start working on that. In my case, it was a temper I mentioned earlier. And I thought I had that totally under control. I mean, hey, I'm an ordained minister. I'm in ministry for many years. And the other day, I'm confessing, the other day, in the worst situation for me is traffic. And this woman started blowing her horn at me. And I ignored it the first time or two or three or four. But it got old after a while. And I blew it. I didn't curse her. I didn't do any of that. But I lost my temper, you know, and that blew it for me. It wasn't so much what I said or did, but the fact I knew I lost control for that few seconds. I don't know how long it lasted. It might have been an hour and a half. No, Jan would have killed me before then, but she was with me on top of that. I was driving her car, trying to help her image. But you know, and I'm just saying that because now I got to realize that that flesh is never going to die, but I keep it beat down with the Word of God. And see, that was humiliating to me. I mean, I'm sure there were people that would recognize our car and know who we were, you know. And heaven forbid that I bring reproach on the name of the Lord. Heaven forbid I bring reproach on Macedonia Baptist Church, or even my wife included. So that's what hurt me so bad. And Satan was laughing his head off. And after a while of that, I'm parked in a parking lot and just kind of letting it settle down. And after a while of that, I said, okay, big boy, you done messed up. Now I'm going to get back in the Word more. And that's the only thing that will defeat you, is I'm going to get in the Word more. And that's what you have. In other words, like Paul said, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In other words, Satan. We actually have power over him if we just learn how to use it and quit giving in like I did that time and like you have sometime. Jump over to chapter 3 of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ is, or where Christ is, rather, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, we're talking about maturing, and walking according to the Spirit is this maturing process. Set our minds on things above, on things in the Word, not on things below. Don't get involved, get tangled up in earthly matters. It's trivial, it's temporary, and, that sort of thing. Now, back to Romans 8. I should have told you to keep your finger there because we're going to be coming back to it all the time. I would love to have the time to go through the whole chapter 8, but we won't this evening, of course. Romans chapter 8. Let's go on from verse 2. Read a little further. Drop down to verse 5. We don't have time. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's what we just read in Colossians. Paul's admonishing us to do, right? The things of the Spirit are as you were. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, again, what we're talking about, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, if we're living according to our flesh, we're never going to please God. It's not saying we're not saved. It has nothing to do with that. We're talking about born-again Christians here. Amen? We're talking about whether or not we live victorious or not. We're talking about living in His perfect will versus His permissive will. Now, I got a teaching on that sometime, and I get to draw with that. Two circles. In other words, you're going to heaven because you're born again, but you don't necessarily enjoy all the blessing God wants you to have when you're living according to the flesh. And that's hard to overcome sometimes. But He promised to give us the strength to do that. And Paul constantly admonishes us to kind of grow up. One place he says, in another version, grow up. Simply grow up. And verses 5 through 8 here tells us very simply that there's two things, our spirit and our flesh. And the bottom line of it all is, to shorten it down, the bottom line is, whichever one gets fed the most is the one that's going to be the strongest. Now, we feed the flesh all day long, don't even know it. I mean, stuff we hear that we don't think we hear. The sexual innuendos on the commercials on TV, we don't study it per se, but it's recorded because we saw it, right? Sitting in a restaurant, you might be sitting there fellowshipping with Brother Freddie or somebody like that. We may be talking about the Lord right behind us as somebody cussing and telling nasty jokes. That's getting recorded. See? We don't think about it, but we hearing it. Satan figured out a long time ago that faith cometh by hearing, so he knows that fear comes by hearing also. Everything Satan does is a cheap duplication of what God set out. God created sex for something beautiful, and the world turned it around into adultery and makes it something horrible or nasty almost. What God created for good, He tried to turn around and duplicate it, and His duplication is always bad, right? And so it is with every aspect of our life. So if we feed our flesh more, and I know y'all have all overcome the flesh, so I'm talking to myself here. I like the old 60s music. Some of it, it's pretty good. Some of it is bad. I found out, I was a big Beatle fan then. And when we started doing research, my children started growing up and listening to rock and roll music, of course. We started doing research on AC/DC and all the groups. And they were satanic worshipers and all that, and said that. They didn't hide it. I wish Christians would come out and say, I worship God, you know, like they do. Well, anyway, anybody heard of backward masking? Backward masking, you know what it is, right? That is a subliminal message. Did I say that right? That's a big word. It's actually recorded backwards, so you don't notice it when you hear it, but your mind will turn it around and record it forward. That's a fact. Julie brought home one of her friend's album. I believe it was AC/DC. I don't remember now, but one of the heavy metal groups then. We put this album on the stereo and took our finger and started turning it backwards and kept working with it. You know what it said? Satan, he is God. Satan, he is God. Just plain as day. It's recorded backwards. But your mind turned it around and recorded it forward. I do word searches, you know, like crossword, I do word searches. And I found my mind doing that. It would actually see the word, it was backwards. In my mind, it would turn, and it, yours will too. You'll see the real word. You know how you did that? Yeah, your mind reversed it and put it the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You didn't even know it happened. So, see, Satan is duplicating what God gave us the smart to do. What we got to do as Christians is get in the Word enough that we feed our spirit the Word of God and come to church, of course, in Sunday school and that. I love Sunday school. I enjoy Sunday school. Because I get to hear more of the word, you know, and it's a discussion kind of thing. And I like that. I like that. So I want to grow all I can. We got to grow to the point where we can say from our heart the prayer that Jesus said, and we repeat it all the time. People pray the Lord's Prayer. At baseball games or whatever, well, I guess we can still do that. I know they can worship Buddha if they want to, but for some reason we're not supposed to say God or Jesus. But anyway, that's another story. But Jesus gave us the model prayer, right? We call it the Lord's Prayer. Actually, that is a outline on how to pray. But what did he start out saying? Our Father which art in heaven, then what? And then? Thy kingdom come, what?
Thy will be done.
So we need to grow. Now, it's easy to say that. We say it out of habit. But do I mean it? Now, that's said a lot. Think about it. When you say, your will be done in my life, every morning, part of my ritual, the Satan keeps telling me, you're just doing a ritual. Don't mean nothing. I say, that's all right. I need to hear it. I don't know about you, buddy, but I need to hear this. It might do you good. No. I ask the Lord, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life today. Now, I know I'm opening myself up for whatever. But you know, at the same time, when that fear tries to come in, I say, well, I can't do it anyway. He has to do it through me. Amen. So maturing and getting to where we're walking according to the Spirit, so we can enjoy the things of God, the blessings of God, we have to get to the point where we can truthfully, honestly say, I want your will done in my life. Submitting ourselves truly to God. And that's more than, now, again, understand, we're not talking about being born again. We're already born again and going to heaven. You know, when you become born again, you're ready to die right then, right? If you fell dead the next second, you go straight to heaven. And as I tell a lot of people when I lead them to Christ, I say, now you're ready to die, but you're not ready to live. Think about it. Some people, I was 23 when I got saved. Anybody in here got saved at an older age? Maybe further along. Jimmy, how old was you?
I was 12 years old when I went to Methodist Church, but I was about 33.
About 33? We got a chaplain that was in his 50s when he got saved.
I didn't have time for it. I was too busy.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. And you women have put up pickled before, right? Mm-hmm. What is a pickle? Just a cucumber. It's full of vinegar. Have you ever tried to unpickle the pickle to bring it back to a cucumber? Can't do it. Well, to unpickle our mind is about like doing that. We've heard so much of the rot of the world that we've recorded, and in South Georgia, we've even used that term, he's pickle. You know, he's... But when we get saved, it starts a regeneration, a reprocessing process, I guess you'd say, that will never be complete, but it'll go on forever if we let it. Now, if we're listening to the Word of God and good teaching, whatever, but you know, all the teaching tapes in the world won't replace listening to the Bible. I tell everybody everywhere I go, I said, you know, they talk about getting our CDs and teaching tapes and that, and thank God for Brother Howard and the ministry he does here and provides us all with copies of it so we can listen. But nobody's preaching, nobody's teaching will take the place of reading the Bible. Amen? I think any preacher or any pastor in his right mind would tell us that. And that is where we're growing and maturing. Psalm 34 is one of my favorite places. We won't turn there, but Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. I think I taught on that once, didn't I? Delight yourself in the Lord, and what will He do? Give you the desires of your heart. That's right. What a big statement. Now, I shared with you one time, I think, I only read the end of that verse. Boy, that sounds good. I want my crown without the cross. Right? That's the flesh. And two, I am a microwave nut. I don't know if I could ever live without one now. One preacher on TV said, you're so impatient you stand there telling the microwave to hurry. I thought, he'd been looking at me. I hate to say it. Yesterday I was looking at the microwave. How long can 30 seconds be? I want my coffee now. And I wasn't getting upset, but I was, you know. We live in a microwave society, and we want everything instantly, and we want to grow up in the Lord instantly, and when that don't happen, we stumble and fall, and we say, oh, what the heck? What's the use? Can't make it. How many have heard people say that? I tried, and I can't do it. And I say, you're right. I can't do it, but He can through me. Paul said, I think it's over in Philippians, he said, not I, but Christ that liveth within me. And so we need to grow to that point where then the delight, first of all, with that delight is we need to ask ourselves, what do we delight in? What is the most important thing in my life? I ask myself this. What is the most important thing in your life? And where does God fit in to your daily schedule? I don't know about you, but I eat more than once a day. I'm not going to go far without eating. Even on this diet. That's why I didn't have dinner here tonight. I had to eat what Jan will let me eat. But even at that, I'm going to eat. Right? Because I want to stay healthy. And we got to eat to stay healthy. And not only that, we got to eat the right stuff to stay healthy. That's the same thing spiritually. If we're not getting good spiritual input, our spirit man, spirit person is going to go weak and even die. We're not talking about not being born again. Now, understand that. But, as I heard one preacher say, you know, there won't be enough Jesus about you to warrant an attack from a used demon. How many has the devil attack them? All the time. You know what? I hope it gets worse. I don't look forward to the attack, don't get me wrong. But I want him to know we are not friends. Amen? Mm-hmm. And when you make that stand, it's coming. It's coming. But I also know, I read the end of the book. I know who's going to wear the Super Bowl ring. And that's all that counts. Amen? That's all that counts. It's who wins in the end. Look at verse 9 again. Or what we got there. Verse 9 says, again, talking about Christians, it's just talking about all this about the flesh. Then he said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if. If. Anybody got a different version from the New King James? What do you got, Freddie?
It's just a regular King James.
Read number 9.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you.
If.
If.
That two-letter word. Anybody got a different one from that? That'll read that. Okay.
However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells
in you. If. Now notice something. We're talking about born again Christians, and he said, if the spirit of God dwells in you. And I'm thinking, I thought that was automatic. He said, dwells, as in stay. Dwell, or one version used the word abide. Where do you stay? What counts the most? Again, is the flesh in control or the spirit in control? Now again, there's times, and since we're not perfect, and you know, I can't even stand to say that because I don't like people to say it. Well, nobody's perfect. Anybody heard that? That's a cop-out. And no, we're not perfect. We won't be perfect. But Paul said what? Strive towards perfection. And when you think about it, he's telling me to work on something I can't do. I'm not going to attain, but what he's telling me, what I think is, don't give up. Keep working on it. That's right. Love my 9 grandchildren. They ain't nothing like grandchildren. Eric, you got a long time probably to wait for that. But I told my children, you served your purpose now. Just go somewhere. I got my grandchildren. I just needed you to have grandchildren. No. Love them. But you know what? I've never seen one learn to walk without falling. But what do they do? Just sit down? No. Back up and go again. I remember back home when Joey was little, a lot of it was outside, of course, in the grass. We didn't have central air back then. Good heavens, can you imagine that? And no microwave, probably. Well, no, we didn't. No air conditioning. Think I was doing better then, Jimmy. I was making $90 a week, straight salary. And Jan didn't have to work.
South Georgia.
Yep. But I remember putting him down outside, you know, and him learning to walk, you know, and you back off, and he'd fall down in the sand and get up crying and, you know, brushing himself off. But he got up every time. When we fall down spiritually, we just need to get up and brush ourselves off and go again, determined to walk. I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to get the best of this temper. I'm going to overcome the desire to do so and so. I'm going to conquer that in Jesus' name.
Do you think sometimes about your temper? And when you overcame it the other day, Satan in the face is what you're doing.
Yeah. By overcoming.
Yeah, I think it just makes it matter sometimes. We have to work harder.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you give in and say, what's the use, then he won. He won. And he's always, like I say, he's always going to attack. And I was sharing several years ago, if I repeat, y'all forgive me, okay? If you're like me, you can't remember what I said anyway. I can hide my own Easter eggs. I can't remember where I put them. I have a ball with myself. You know? Give me 10 minutes, I go back out in the yard, don't know where they're at. Not really. But anyway, it's a growing process, okay? In verse 9, it says, we are not in the flesh, meaning we should be growing and maturing out of that. Verse 10 and 11, I got to get through here. It said, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, notice that again. If he's there, if you've given him permission to be there, let's put it that way. I think that dwell might mean, come Holy Spirit, you're welcome. We used to sing a little song years and years ago, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. You ever sing that here? Thou art welcome in this place. And I try to say that in the morning, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Yes, I know I disappoint you sometimes. Yes, I know I fall down, but I'm learning to walk. My cop-out prayer is, well, you knew that before you created Adam. You knew I was going to do that. And he did, right? And when he died on the cross, it was paid for. He knew how much I was going to need before he ever started. So I said, Lord, you knew it, so I ask you to forgive me and give me strength in that area. In other words, I want to mature and defeat this flesh as much as I possibly can. Verse 10 and 11 is where we'll end up. We read, but if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He will give us life, our spiritual life. We need that. We need that strength. I don't know about you, but I need it every day. I need it every day. Psalms 91 is one of my favorite places in the Bible, and we taught on that. You remember that? We went through that, I think, in a couple of three Wednesday nights. But Psalms 91 is what I call the Christian's assurance policy. If you use your assurance, you don't need your insurance as much. But you see, you have to take authority over Satan and let him know who you are in Christ. Just like when our son was doing drugs so bad, there was weeks we wouldn't even know where he was at. And this little voice would say, he's dead. He's committed suicide. He's overdosed. I say, you're a liar. You're a liar. You don't have the authority to do that. You can't do that, because I read in my Bible, to get my son, you got to come through me. And to get to me, you got to cross the bloodline of Jesus, and that's what you can't do. Me and myself, he could run over me like a bulldozer. But that bloodline, you see, that bloodline, he can't cross. We have to give him permission to do that. And in that case, and some of y'all have had sons or daughters or somebody you really had to pray for, you know, and just intercede for. And probably your parents had to pray for you, some of you, right? And they just interceded. My little mother told me every time she saw me, she'd point that little bony finger in my face up at me and say, one day you're going to be serving the Lord. I ain't got time for that. I want to make money. It's all about money. It's all about me. It's all about greed. I ain't got time for anybody or anything unless I can make money. But when, of course, when the Spirit of the Lord moved in, when I accepted Christ and began to grow in it, I also grew out of that greed. I don't care. Our approach now is, Lord, if you want us to have it, fine. If you don't, it's okay. And that's easy to say, but you got to mean it. Because he'll find that and say, okay, you won't get it. Wait a minute, I was joking. I really want it. No. Psalm 91 talks about dwelling or abiding in the secret place of the Most High. In other words, how much time do we spend in God's presence? Not enough. Not enough. That's right, Freddie. Some of y'all are retired and got plenty of time. Eric and I and some of us had to work for a living. But even at that, we can give God time if we really want to. I guarantee you I have time to drink coffee. I guarantee you I'm going to have time to drink coffee. So whatever I want to do, basically, I'm going to find the time for it, right? It don't matter what it is. We're going to find the time for it. Some people have hobbies. Jimmy grows a beautiful garden. His garden is ridiculous. I mean, it looks like Better Homes and Gardens. Some of you others may have a garden. I don't know, but I'll come picking. I mean, I'll come. I thank God for people that can grow a garden, because we can't, but we can enjoy the bounty of it, you know. And I told him, I don't mind paying for vegetables, man. It's good. Good fresh vegetable. In other words, something you enjoy doing, you're going to make time. What about God? Do we have time for Him? And that's something each one of us need to answer for ourselves. So, to walk according to the Spirit, first of all, of course, a person's got to be truly born again. In the Baptist church, we have a horrible habit of talking about a profession of faith. How many has ever heard that term? That scares me a little bit. You know why? Because did the person ask Jesus to forgive him of his sins? If he hadn't, they're still there. If no confession is done, and it may be you, and I want you to think about that. I'm not condemning anybody. I just don't want to, we don't want to smooth over what needs to be done to be saved. In one of our locations in Nebraska, and I probably shared this before, in Nebraska we were told that you do not need to repent of your sins to be born again. A pastor said that. And I said, well, some people call it confessing. He said, neither one. I said, well, you tell me how to be born again. How do you do that? And he's got a following, of course. Because, again, it's microwave, it's easy, it doesn't require any commitment. And people go for that. But it's a lie. It's a lie. When I said, how do you become born again? He said, you just begin, notice this, you begin to praise Jesus for his finished work on the cross. And I said, you're right, that's step two. Right after you ask him to forgive you of your sin. Nothing wrong with praising him for that. And again, in churches, and not Macedonia, because I like to hear him give an invitation, somebody will take you and talk with you, pray with you, whatever. We're not going to shake your hand, sign a card.
Mm-hmm. Really talk to them and be sure, and if they wasn't, mm-hmm. then they cancel with them.
And they explain
absolutely
step by step.
Yeah.
And see, that's what we got to stay with.
That's right.
We got people in the pulpit today.
The church,
I'm
when
sorry.
I was a child. I didn't do anything, but they just took my name.
Exactly. Shook hands.
That's right.
Signed a card. I remember filling out the card.
When I was 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. And use it.
I didn't know what it really was until I was 19.
Wow. Now see what scares me, of course you didn't, but what scares me, what would have happened had you died in the middle? Now, I'm not going to say you'd have went to hell. I can't say that. And I wouldn't say that.
But I didn't know.
But you didn't.
Confession, that's right.
See? And you know, that's what's scary. And I tell people this, and I'll tell you this. If there's an iota of doubt in your mind, simply go through the process. Because if you're saved, you won't get saveder. You won't get any saveder by doing it again. But you can do what the Word of God says. And I've led many a person in this, you know, go through the plan of salvation, Romans Road as we call it, all of that. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And I read that backward. If we haven't confessed our sin, then he hasn't forgiven us. And let's go ahead and pray the prayer. Then you'll know that you've done what it takes to be saved, and you'll know you're saved. So I tell anybody, hell, eternity is too long to be wrong. Don't want to take a chance. Don't want to take a chance with that. So, as we're growing up in the Lord, we're maturing in Him, learning to walk according to the Spirit, and defeating the flesh. And if you'll pray for me, well, I'm going to pray for you anyway. I start to say, if you'll pray for me, I'll pray for you. But I'm going to do that anyway. I thank God that we're in a church that don't compromise. Don't compromise. This is not a social club. This is the house of God. And while we reverence that, it's not holy here. I know places Eric walk in with shorts on, he'd be escorted right back out. I know a place where you women, ain't none of y'all got a dress on, come to think of it. We've been to places, right? The holiness is in your clothes somehow. You know, and that drives people away. Now, we don't want to be that extreme, but we do want to stand on the Word and not compromise just to get them to come in. And in our growth program, I want to see this church known for the love of God being here. Everybody, don't care what your P&L looks like. Don't care what you make or don't make. There's a church not too far from here. I won't call the name, of course, and don't even ask me because I ain't going to tell you. But you have to submit your W-2 form to them when you join the church. Hello. I'm serious as a heart. A member told me that. And if you don't tithe accordingly, you will get a bill. I don't think I could tithe joyfully like that. That's law. That's bondage. And there again, we want to grow and mature in the Lord and just enjoy ourselves in the Lord. Amen? Amen? Just kind of relax, like I did coming over here today. I just wound up and Jan had to go get our daughter-in-law. The van broke down and she had to turn around and go back to Stockbridge and get them. And I was wanting her with me. And I left the house and I turned it on 104.7. And just, I said, I'm going to relax. Had plenty of time because somebody got in front of me that wasn't in a hurry. I thought about it. I was in my big truck. I can blow that home. No. I said, Lord, I wanted to relax. I didn't want to crawl to church. But no. When I grow in the Spirit, grow in the Lord, and turn to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to be able to relax in Him and knowing He's in control. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come and be born on this crazy place called Earth. And you was willing to undergo everything that you did all your life, every temptation that I'd ever face, and you lived here to show me how to walk out my daily life, my daily Christian life. Give us, Lord, a desire, individuals and collectively as the church here. Give us the desire, I pray, to walk closer to you tomorrow and every day of our life, that we will exemplify you and not the flesh. Help me, Lord, to get more and more control over my flesh, that I will walk above reproach. And as Paul wrote in another place, worthy of the calling. And we all have a calling from you to be ministers for you in one way or the other. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people here, our church family. Pray that you bless each one according to their needs and according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.